What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We're Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Oh, yeah.
And we're coming at you on this very absurdly slow news day.
The past week and a half, I don't know what's going on.
I was tweeting about my Olympic starting five. I mean, that's not coming up for another year. Anyways, though, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking a little bit about... Well, today's Wednesday, so it's our What Could Have Been's. We're going to be talking a little bit about the big three. About JJ. Apparently he's come to terms with some of the other guys.
He's soul searched.
He seems like he's actually like really kind of bummed about it. Like he thought they really had a legitimate shot.
Oh yeah.
Also, we keep hyping up this one Clippers video that came out on Monday. So we got to continue that train. And it's kind of a what could be if Landry Shamet can't develop into a playmaking guard.
We'll see what happens.
Anything else we got to throw at him?
We're going to have we have a former Clipper shout out from a very popular podcaster. And yeah, I asked some fans what a successful season means to them, so we can talk about that. But first, can't find a workout that gets you engaged? Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED, all capital letters, to get started.
Buy stock, too.
So I asked, there's a very slow day today.
Yeah.
Not a lot of content coming, so I decided to poll Clipper Nation on Twitter. As of September 18th, 2019, I asked them, what is the bare minimum for you to consider this year a quote-unquote successful season?
I'm
going to
predict, because it's the same thing I think I've said.
Go ahead and predict.
Western Conference Final.
Overwhelmingly, people's response were just making the Western Conference Final, which is a level head. Like,
I would go as far as to say, barring injuries, it is a failure.
If we do not
make a Western Conference Final.
This year.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah, and this was the bare minimum. So the bare minimum
I agree.
Is the Western Conference Final. Some funny ones that I got. No injuries.
I mean,
which I was like, hey, absolutely. That's a great one.
I mean, that's a good one.
50 to 55 wins, which...
I'm like not really concerned about the win floor anymore at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we first talked about it and I was first kind of mulling it over, it's like, 60 seems really pretty attainable, seems, like it could happen. But the more and more I think about rest schedules and stuff like that, I don't think it's going to matter.
Yeah. I
don't think the regular season is going to matter as much as long as keep those guys healthy. And we make that dang Western Conference Final.
And I've said, too, I think I'm kind of on the lower end of the spectrum in terms of win total predictions, but just getting that top four seed.
Yeah. You think 45 wins.
Yeah, I think we're going to be right at 500 is what's going to happen. We also got competitive game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Someone said if we lost on a heartbreaking buzzer beater a la the 76ers, they're like, that'd be hard to not consider that a successful season giving... Everything comes down to that situation.
I mean, just getting to the Western Conference Final, we've never done it before.
It'd be huge.
If we got swept, I would be very surprised. But
I don't think that's going to happen.
I still think not a failure.
The best response I got, though, was making the playoffs. So that person's going to have a great year.
I mean...
That person's eyes were good.
You know what? Thanks to that person on Twitter. You're great.
I was pretty excited. There was only a couple responses that said championship. Which for me, I don't know how you can have a minimum level of success that is based on the maximum attainment of success in the league.
I think maybe people misunderstood the question. I mean, yeah, you can't ever set the championship as your floor. That's just not really how it works.
That's a tough floor because, I mean, how do you go bigger than that? But it is an interesting thing to think about. There's a bunch of hype right now. And you agree with the Western Conference Finals being, this would be a successful season if we made the Western Conference Final.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We've never done it before. It'd be great.
It's going to be really interesting to see how people react to when Paul George and everyone is full strength.
Yeah.
If we hit some rough patches.
Let me give you a prediction. People are going to be mad. Real mad.
I think people are going to be pretty upset. There's already people talking about trade deadline stuff. Shout out Sleepy Brown 78.
I think that both in national media and among the fan base... the only news is going to be bad news. Like when the Clippers are sailing and working like a well-oiled machine, like we're supposed to be.
And should, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, you're probably not going to hear that much about us.
For sure.
And I think when things are not going so well, that's when you're going to hear about it.
We have the, you know, unwanted stepchild behavior system in place for how our team plays.
Yeah.
When the unwanted stepchild's doing good, whatever.
But they're invisible.
But he gets that C minus. God damn it. yeah, it's. I mean, there's some fans. Last year it was interesting. Some fans, I will admit, I was on the Clippers Facebook a little bit last year sometimes. It's an intense place.
I have not logged into Facebook in, I don't know.
Wow. Humble brag from William the Opinion of.
Well, my mom is even like, how come you never comment on my stuff? And I was like, dude, I haven't logged into Facebook in like 3 years.
It's probably good because I was on the Clippers Facebook a little bit last year just perusing, and I would post our pod and everything now and then. People wanted to fire Doc at some points last season, which is something I think people forget about. There were fans who wanted Doc gone.
I got a freezing cold take for you. I didn't want Doc fired.
I don't think anyone.
But I definitely did post some negative memes about his rotations.
Well, if you, I mean, that's your inalienable. That's a constitutional right if Avery Bradley is playing 30 minutes.
That was, I mean, and it was too. In my defense, during the baffling period of time.
Where AB was our guy.
Which I still cannot explain. I'll never ask Doc for an explanation. He owes me nothing.
If I could do something like that movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, the only part of my memory I would want changed would be that period of time.
But if we were...
But you can be critical. There's a difference. There's a very big difference between being critical of Doc, which every fan should be critical of their head coach. That's how it works.
They should be.
Absolutely. When something is not making sense, that's like fair. An Avery Bradley, I'm not saying like all across the board, but when Avery Bradley's playing 30 minutes a game, I think it's fair for fans to be like, what's up, man? Like, hey, everything.
What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. But I think we're going to be able to handle it fine because there might be some rough patches.
There for sure will be.
I don't think there's going to be a month like...
April?
Was it April? Right after we killed in March?
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be months like April.
That was rough.
That was really rough. I think we're too even keeled talent-wise to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like it's not going to happen. But yeah, the expectations are pretty high as of right now. As of having seen no basketball, which is totally fair, I want to preface that by saying that was the point of the question, to see where people's heads are at right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I think you're right, though. I'm a little worried if things go bad.
Did anybody...
And by bad, I mean like we lose 2 out of the first 5 games or something like that.
Yeah, I mean...
People will flip out.
People are going to lose their minds.
If we are ever...
If we lose the season over, people are going to lose their minds.
If we're ever below 500, which is only going to happen very early in the season.
Here's my thing, man. It's...
People will flip.
I agree. And, you know...
If we're not even 5 games above 500, the media is going to flip out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
If we're like...
No, I think that, like I said earlier in the segment, like, I think that every loss, you're going to hear a lot more about than any win.
Definitely.
You know, barring, like, some really great highlight or something.
Yeah. With the nationally televised games, I think will help.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of that we have, not counting the... Wait, whatever 12 we have on NBA TV.
Oh yeah, well,
if we win those games, that's great. But if/when we lose one of those nationally televised games, I guess
that's when they're dropping the hammer on us. But yeah. That's the thing is this isn't just a Clippers issue. I mean, although it is exasperated,
definitely. We definitely. I think you're totally right. We don't get as much of the positives.
Yeah.
People aren't trying to find positives with our team.
Yeah, and then you throw in the mix that our two superstars are guys that I feel like last year you only heard about them when stuff was negative. Even though Paul George was like
third in MVP voting,
the time that he entered the news cycle the most was after the All-Star break when he was having issues with his shot and we didn't know the extent of the shoulder issue.
And, hey, P, they want me to come off the bench. That was also when he was in the news cycle just because Carmelo Anthony said that.
Yeah. that feels like 100 years ago.
Yeah, that's very true.
And then Kawhi, same thing. Like, I feel like they talked more about how many games he would be sitting out and hurt he was.
Yeah, for sure.
Than they did, like, about how well he played when he did play. And I don't know. I think, you know.
Their quiet nature
There's more to analyze, I guess, in a loss than there is in a victory. I mean, I have the same problem.
Yeah, like, it's easy to find the problem.
Yeah, like reporting on stuff or doing stuff like that. It is a little bit easier to report on a loss or what's wrong.
Yeah, blowout win, you're like, I don't know, everything went great.
Hey, I'm great, you're great. Let's get out of here.
And I think the soft-spokenness of Paul George and Kawhi hinder us in this situation. I'm not saying they should be.
Charles is complaining. He's like anybody else,
or going at press or anything like that. But that quiet nature, you know, when you're giving the great answer of we just go out there and play basketball, it was a loss, we move on to the next one. What do you want us to do?
Yeah,
people tend to see that as weak or some weird thing of
it's just not entertaining enough.
For sure. And we're not going to be an entertaining team, but we're going to get wins.
Oh, to watch, the basketball is going to be entertaining.
Let's hope so. I hope
let's let the basketball talk.
Let's let the basketball talk. But yeah, let us know what you guys think your, you know, bare minimum for successful season is. Western Conference Finals, we'll see. I don't know if that's my bare minimum.
Did anybody have anything about seeding? Does anybody care about that?
No one said that.
All right.
Which kind of was good.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think. I'm still honestly trying to figure out my answer to this question, I think. I think no injuries.
I mean, that's a
might
great one.
Be
that's
like,
a great one. Yeah.
Might be mine. I do think we have a chance at making the Western Conference Finals. After that, who knows?
After the Western Conference Finals.
Who knows?
There's only one thing after it.
Who knows? Coming up after this, we have two what could have beens.
Yep.
We have a JJ Redick theme, and then
a what could be.
A what could be with Landon Shamet. Okay, so this what could have been. We touched a little bit else on the pod yesterday.
Yeah.
JJ Redick was on the Low Post podcast talking about how they really effed up. Like, how did we not win a championship? So I got two what could have beens for this first one.
Mm-hmm.
What could have been had the Clippers won a chip while he was on the team? Mm-hmm. And during this period of time, which we're going to say is the 14, 15, 16, and 17 chips.
Okay. 17 is out. 16 is out. 15, I don't know.
Was it even possible for the big three to win a chip in this period? Given this was the ascension, arguably peak Warriors, and
the Spurs?
LeBron.
And to win,
I mean, you still got to beat him.
I mean, I'm saying even get into the finals.
Yeah, so let's take the 14-15 season, because that was the Rockets series that, you know, we try and pretend like never happened.
Huh?
So say we beat the Rockets, which we absolutely should have done.
Yeah.
We would then go on to face the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, a team that we went 1-3 against that regular season. But for sake of the argument, let's say we get to the finals and beat LeBron, despite going 0-2 against them during that regular season.
Yes.
What happens? Do you think the big three in the core stick around more? Or do you think maybe now that they have the chip, it still disbands?
I think it stays together for a little bit longer. I think winning would maybe resolve some of the personality stuff.
Oh, it solves everything, maybe.
Like some of the inner arguments. Because I thought an interesting thing that JJ talked about, and because the thing that he talked about, like that they really effed up, was just not trying to solve their interpersonal stuff.
Yeah, they were like, let's just try and focus on basketball. And it was like, dude, your personal issues are already way too big to even do that.
For sure. And I think that stuff got really palpable at the end of the run.
Oh, yeah.
It was very palpable. But I think at that point, they were probably already past the window.
For sure.
And I think, honestly, the such a big thing for them, other than the anomaly that is the Rockets series,
mm-hmm.
Was just health. And that's just something you can't control. And I don't think you can call it an F up because somebody got hurt. Like, that's just not.
They did have some bad luck. Is a thing.
They just had some bad luck. It's one of those things you can't avoid.
Mm-hmm. I think they hang out for a little longer. I think the decline is maybe because this was, you know, 14-15, the Warriors were first in defensive rating and second in offensive rating the whole goddamn league.
Yeah.
So you got to beat them. And then the Cavs were 18th in defensive rating, doable, but 3rd in O rating with LeBron James on the team. So it's weird to say that this seems like their best window.
It's still very hard. I mean, which I guess puts in perspective from the previous segment, like, dude, it's so damn hard.
It's
really hard. That's, you know.
It sucks.
Yeah.
But it just really is that hard to win a chip.
Yeah.
Do you think it was even impossible for the Big Three to win a chip.
I don't.
And this isn't a disrespect to the Big Three. Every year it was like they were a we have a shot team at a championship. They were not a favorite.
To me, they were at best like a dark horse contender for a championship.
Yeah, absolutely.
But to me, I mean, I'm not saying that it was impossible, just incredibly unlikely. And I think that their win would be one of those wins. I mean, obviously it'd be our first win as a franchise, but it would be, maybe this is overstating it, but it would almost be like that Pistons win to me.
Where I don't think that's overstating it at
this
all,
is,
dude.
This is not the team that anybody expected to go this far. This wasn't supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It wasn't working at some parts.
For sure, yeah. So I think that would have been really, really, really cool and interesting. But yeah, I gotta be honest, even as a fan, I mean, I'm not really seeing it.
It's such a hard period of time to think about your team winning a championship with how... I mean, you're in the middle of LeBron's... I don't even know if he's had multiple peaks, if his whole career is just a peak.
Yeah.
You're in a peak of a peak LeBron.
Yeah.
And you're right when the Warriors start to be like, hey, this is how basketball is played at the highest level right now.
Yeah, for sure. And even the Spurs, who you could argue, I guess, were declining but won a chip and had Kawhi.
Yeah, and we battled them. You know, we talked about 14, 15, 16, or 17 being those years.
Yeah.
Horrible playoff years for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Not really that
fun. We did have that great Spurs series.
That was great. And then what happened?
Like, I don't remember.
Yeah, no, I blacked out after.
Did we win a chip that year?
Yeah. It's just, I mean, you can hear it in that pod. JJ's genuinely like, he's not doing this, but part of me felt like he was like realizing it right there. Like, oh, we effed up. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I think he puts, I mean, there's a, I think in 14, 15, he shot 47% from three.
Yeah.
Which is like, man, he's doing everything he could.
He's a guy who had a lot of playoff trouble. We didn't have enough around him to shoot. Like, I mean, he would get double teamed and it's JJ. Like,
yeah, what's he going to do?
He's not a player that's built to take on a double team.
Mm-hmm.
There's not reliable, knockdown shooting outside of that.
Very true.
And it's a period of time in the NBA where, God, the Big Three was like so perfect for a team like a decade before.
I honestly even think just 3 years before.
Yeah. No. You're right.
Like 3 years before when it was like, all right, we got one guy who's going to knock down 46% of mm-hmm. his 3-point shots, which is tight. We have a very solid bench, especially in the early or the later Del Negro days.
Freak athletes, a great, like the best rebounding big man in the game.
And the shot blocker at that time.
Yeah, and a defensive-minded guard who can put up big clutch shots, sees the game at maybe the highest level for the time.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Yeah, 3 years before, it would have been for sure. Let's
I mean,
do
I'm
it.
Getting I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about how good that team was. And even still...
You're going up against the best team, not ever, because I don't want to have people be angry at me in the mentions or whatever. You're going up a Warriors team.
I'll say
team,
it's the best team ever.
You're going up against a Warriors team that's one of the best teams ever.
Yeah.
And then you're going, and then after you get past that, you play LeBron.
Yeah.
At a time when he was an absolute monster. Not that he isn't now.
No, not at all.
But a different kind of.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, it was just a whole different thing.
Yeah. Let us know if you guys think they could have won a chip at that time. It's such an interesting thing to mull over because I want to say yes, but when you look at the numbers and just the matchups against those teams that year, it's like...
As a fan...
Damn.
As a fan, the answer is yes.
Of course.
As a fan, the answer is yes, but yeah, like, I mean, it's just like you said, when you dig into it a little bit more, man, it bums me out in the way that it just reminds me of how damn hard it is.
Something to think about maybe for this upcoming season. Coming up after this, we have another What Could Have Been Wednesday. This one is a What Could Be.
All right, so I've been burning the hype training videos into my retinas.
Yeah.
Just dissecting
it's like Clockwork Orange.
There's good that you love. You know, you love to see Magruder.
Love to see the rookies out there. Trez going at it. Lou falling left, shooting right.
Man looks so big.
Yeah, he looks big, dude. He looks bigger than he did in summer league.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
But one thing we haven't been seeing, and I bring it up because we've talked about it a lot. I think all of Clipper Nation has talked about it a fair amount.
Chatter, 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 chatter.
haven't seen a lot of versatility or attempt to diversify the role of Landry Shamet. Most of what you've seen is, I mean, obviously he's knocking down shots.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, you know, spot ups, running around some screens.
Coming off a curl.
Yeah, you're not really seeing him handle the ball a whole lot. Not seeing, like, these assist highlights.
No dishes.
You know, and it just makes me wonder. I mean, I've just felt this way since the offseason last year, and obviously things changed with the signings that we made, but... Mm-hmm. How limiting is it going to be for him as a player if, you know, like, he's only used in, like, a spot-up role or, you know, like, a J.J. Redick role is still cool, but do you think that he...
But there's more he can do.
I'm saying, is there?
I think there is. I think where he might be in a situation, he doesn't have to.
For sure.
If how this team... Because we still are not 100% sure... how distribution on the court is going to look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're still so in the dark with that I don't know. I really want him to.
For sure.
And if it's not working in the first 2 weeks and it's like, and Shamet has played no larger role in distribution or something like that, I'm not saying, you know, unleash point Shamet.
Yeah.
Or something like that, then I'd be a little concerned. I just don't think. The need right now, I think it might be a slow thing that they try and incorporate. But again, all that footage, you're right. It's curls, which they look great. The shots are going in.
Oh,
It's 10 out of 10 in that. But it would be, I think it'd be a little nicer to see some, just one clip of like bringing the ball up, looking up, holding up a couple fingers for a play, and then maybe hitting a oop to Trez or something like that.
Yeah.
But I agree that it hasn't, you know, if for people looking to see if there's development in Shamet's distribution and point stuff, not a whole lot to glean off that video. I would agree.
For sure. And if that does end up being his role, is that enough?
I think so. I think with our team... It is enough.
What about when Paul George is out?
Borderline. Which is a very boring answer, but I think it's just enough to keep us, you know, we're still going to have a fantastic squad around him. And he's probably going to be playing more first team minutes. I think it'll be enough, even with Paul George out. I think on the second unit, because he's kind of in that thing where Paul George is out, he's playing on the first unit with... You know, he's got a couple players ahead of him.
Yeah.
Even with Paul George out, in terms of, like, who to look at. Maybe only really one guy with Kawhi. But then he goes out to the bench, and he's not the focus.
Yeah,
that's true. All.
Yeah.
It's an interesting spot. I want to see him develop, but now that I'm kind of talking it out, I don't know if it would be that detrimental if we just kind of had a more plus version of him from last year.
Yeah, so I mean, I got to agree with you. I don't think that it's essential to try and force a player into a role or, like, to diversify just because he played guard in college.
For sure.
That's college.
Lucas Hahn had a great tweet about this. He was like, I'm really tired of people saying, you know, so-and-so played X in college. He goes, that's great, but I want someone who can play it at the NBA level.
Yeah. As for do I think it's enough, that depends.
TBD.
The issue is like, can we reliably bank on Kawhi and Paul George having the same years that they did last year? Because I'm going to say probably not.
Interesting.
Paul George had like one of the greatest seasons of his career. While I don't think that it'll be major, I mean, I think it'd be reasonable to expect a little bit of a regression perhaps.
And there's just less work for these guys to do.
Yeah.
Maybe, I think Kawhi might be at the same level because Toronto had a great supporting cast.
Yeah.
But Paul George is definitely a situation where he doesn't have to do as much as he did last year.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is good.
And I'm not saying that he'll be a worse athlete or anything necessarily, but like his usage will be different. The fit will be different. I don't think that he'll score 28 a game.
Great if he did, but yeah.
I mean, in the playoffs or something, maybe, like, depending on his minutes.
Those high leverage situations, I think for sure.
Yeah.
That's what's going to be great about having both of them is that I think when it's like, dog, we need someone to go get 30, we have three guys who can do it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not that he's not capable of it. I mean, there's only so many damn points.
you know what? You're damn right. So what do you want to see from Shamet maybe in preseason and stuff like that to make you more bought into his expanded distribution role.
I just don't think I'm going to see that.
Damn.
I just don't.
No hope. No hope update.
It's not no hope. It's just like a, it's just a, when? You know, like, when are they working on it? When are we going to see it? Like, if it's not in training videos, like, I don't think it's going to be ready to test out in an NBA game.
I mean, I can't argue with that logic.
So if he's not tossing up passes when people are playing 50% defense.
When's he tossing up the passes?
But, I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. I just think that it's going to be hard to see an improvement in his numbers really from last year if his role is the same but playing less minutes.
Yeah, playing less minutes in a situation where he's not leaned on as much.
But how I do think he can elevate himself over last year is just getting back to that playoff defense.
That's a fantastic point. So that's the other thing. So offensively, maybe he's not as developed, but if he gets that defense ratchet it up.
Yeah, I'm not even saying lockdown, yes. But if he can be an improvement from last year and worst case scenario be a net neutral on defense, I mean, that's an improvement. And that's an improvement that I think could make a pretty darn big difference on the bottom line for this team's like net.
Hell yeah. And will help his contract in the next 3 years or something like that.
Yes.
If he is a true 3-and-D guy,
yes,
that will be fantastic.
And he doesn't even have to be Klay Thompson. If he can play, like, you know, competent to good-ish defense.
Yeah.
And just knock down those shots. I still think that's great. It sounds like I'm down on him.
But it's going to be a great season.
I'm just down on maybe the idea of Point Shamet.
The idea of Point Shamet, too, might take a hit because still hasn't had a full season with the team.
Yeah.
Was still on kind of a, I don't want to say cobbled together because I think that has a negative connotation, but the roster after the trade deadline was a little cobbled together.
Bootstrappy, I would say.
Yeah, that's what we need to talk about. But I think that might play a part into it too, just familiarity with the season, or with the personnel, excuse me, because we did just get more. You want to give this former Clipper shout out?
Yeah. So I was listening to Ringer NBA podcast. Chris Vernon and Kevin O'Connor did a segment called On an Island, where essentially they were defending players that other people maybe would have given up on, but they're firmly in their camp. I was just filled with hope and joy. When Chris Vernon said a player that he is on the island of is Sindarius Thornwell.
Me too, man.
Man, shout out Sindarius, Sin City. Such a great locker room, dude.
One of the best locker room guys.
I was really a fan of what he did in the 17-18 season.
Oh, yeah. Every Clippers fan was.
Was not the most efficient player, but I thought was fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I thought was really great defensive skill set, especially for a rookie.
Yeah.
And his frame. I do think that he looked bigger in summer league last year, and I think if he, you know, maybe puts on the right kind of weight, because okay. I do think there is such a thing as like getting too big and losing some of that mobility.
I think that's fair.
But I think that, yeah, if he could continue that trend and just keep working, I mean, he's a really hard worker, obviously. I think that maybe, you know, he could get a little bit of shine on the Cavs. They are a crap team, so hopefully he'll be able to get some minutes. Yeah, I don't know, man. I have to agree on that one. I'm not out on Sindarius. I really hope I really hope that he gets a contract at the end of this year and that he's able to hold down a spot in the league.
I'm not out on Sin either. His Instagram has been great lately. He's been doing a ton of posts like, gotta get back to the mud and like, can't be in Hollywood. And I'm like, that's fair, man. That's totally fair. If you don't like kind of the LA lifestyle and whatnot.
I don't think it's that, but.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
comes off as that. I'm like, that's fair, man. You're definitely, you know, not from LA. It takes some getting used to.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to see him stay. It became clear last year, like he was really interesting in his limited minutes, I guess. But
minutes, dude, the dude was getting like disrespectful.
It was, yeah.
It was kind of absurd.
It was kind of absurd.
All right, we got 30 seconds left in this quarter. Go steal this inbounds pass. And he would, which is awesome. But that was it.
It is like a level of disrespectful.
Because
it's not even garbage time. It's like,
it's the end of the second quarter, and he would play 0 minutes and have one steal. And you're like, dude, your per 36 on steals is absurd. What are you at? 187 steals per 36? It's crazy. Anything else in that shavings drawer?
No, I'm pretty empty.
Oh, go watch the PSA that Lou Will retweeted.
Oh, yeah, good call.
God damn, that is...
very scary.
Very scary in a good way?
I don't know. I'm not going to comment on it.
That's fair. If you've seen the Montana meth commercials, similar vibe, yeah. Tomorrow we will have a brand new episode for you guys. Uh-huh. Doing Thirsty Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about what we want to see more of. Want to give a shout out. If you're a local business, you want to get some ad time on here, come through. Hit us up. Shavings.podcast@gmail.com.
We've had enough of the natties. That's national ads.
Yeah, that's...
we want more locals.
That's what that means. Some lokes, if you will. I have been Positive Chuck Walkley.
And I'm William the Opinion Uptake. Thanks for listening.